son became very happy. The tailor said, come after 10 days. I'll give you 10 rupees. And became very happy. After 10 days, I'll get 10 rupees. He thought it was a good bargain. Good, I didn't stop at 1. I bargained for 10. So after 10 days, he came and told the tailor, give me my 10 rupees. And the tailor said, apna haath aisa karo. Stretch out your hand. Ungliya dur dur karke. And 10 ungli pe 10 topi chada diya usne. Ye tumhara 10 topi. So more is always not good. And especially modern science is telling, even modern science is telling that only 10% of your long-term happiness can be predicted by your externals. Only 10% of your long-term happiness can be predicted by your externals. Externals of how much you have. Because no matter what your externals are, the experience that you are going to have is going to be filtered through your mind, intelligence and the ego, which is your sukshma sharir. You've got sthula sharir, sukshma sharir, the gross body and then the subtle body consisting of your mind, intelligence and ego. So no matter what your externals are, what experience you get from the externals is going to be filtered through your own mind. The state of your mind, the state of your intelligence, the state of your ego. So 90% of our happiness depends upon what we are doing about our internal environment. And so, in the modern day world, there is a big demand for self-improvement. And there are many self-improvement gurus. And they are all about how to improve your inner self rather than your external self. Because the modern man is slowly but surely realizing that happiness is more about internal environment than external environment. You might be seeing the world, but then what you see in the world, you're seeing it through the lens of your mind, intelligence and ego. If you are aware of photography a little bit, sometimes the lens is more expensive than the camera itself. Isn't it? Many times the lens is many times more expensive than the camera. Because it doesn't matter how good your camera is, unless the lens is very good, the photography that you're going to take is going to be substandard. So similarly, more important than changing the externals is to change the internal environment. So it's not about how much you have that matters. What's more important is how grateful you are for the things that you already have. Because the more you are grateful for the things that you already have, the more you will be positive. And the more positive we are, the more happy we will be. Actually, one particular organization, they have this method of rewiring our brain to become positive. And what is the exercise? For 21 consecutive days, every day, you write down 3 things that you are grateful for in life. So every day you write 3 new things for which you are grateful for in life. And once you do it for 21 consecutive days, your mind will be wired to be more positive. When we are grateful, we automatically develop positivity. Now I know it's a little bit unconventional. Maybe we should try out this exercise here. If you don't have a pen or a paper, I'm sure every one of you has a mobile phone. So please write down maybe 10 things for which you are grateful for in life. It will take 5 minutes. Sunday feast has a lot of time. So in 5 minutes, or maybe in 5 minutes, you can write down 10 things for which you are grateful for in life. I'll also write down. Okay, anyone would like to give it a try? Yes, yes. Maybe I'll begin with myself. So I wrote that I'm grateful for being a part of this temple, grateful for having good parents, grateful for having 2 hands, 2 legs, 2 eyes, everything working properly. Many times we take things for granted. And opportunity, grateful for the opportunity to chant every day. These points. We would like to tell a few points which you wrote down. Just like the mic.
First one I wrote is Krishna and his devotees. That is the first. Krishna and his devotees. That is the first thing that I am grateful for. Okay. And the ability to practice devotional service. And then chaste and loving wife. Okay. And very loving mother. Okay. And good son. And also good economic condition so that I don't have to worry. Okay. About. I think that's what I am grateful for. And okay. Health. That's it.
Thank you. You'd like to say something? Can pass. Thank you very much.
First of all, human life, then good education, good family, good job, good son, good Guru Maharaj.
Your son is here somewhere, yes.
good daughter and all.
Okay, very nice. Your son would like to tell something.
Actually, I got a better human life. And second thing is association with Krishna's devotees. And nice temples also, and Prabhupada's book district.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so I have written father, mother, wife, children, house, education, job close to home, process to purify heart, connection with pure souls, and prasad to purify consciousness.
Thank you.
I would like to be grateful to Prabhupada for introducing this Krishna consciousness in our life.
Okay. Nice. You mentioned job close to home. Very important point. Alright, so while we are going through this exercise, what was your experience? Would you like to share some feeling that you are going through?
Introspect and see what we are grateful for, and our mind tends to take us into a negative zone because we are not actually dwelling too much on what we should be grateful for.
Yes. So while I was going through this exercise, of course, I've done it repeatedly with different audiences. The first time I did it, I felt happy. Isn't it true? When you're going through this, you become happy. Isn't it? That is positivity. See, why gratitude, being grateful is such a powerful exercise that makes you happy and grateful? Because by default, the selfish mind is always drifting towards what I don't have. We don't think about what we have. We always think about what I don't have. And then slowly the mind drifts towards why I don't have what I don't have. Because of this person, because of that person. And then, first of all, we become negative because we don't have those things. And slowly, slowly we become negative about people. Because of them, I don't have what I don't have. So, but when we are grateful, what we are doing is, we are focusing on things that we already have, which makes us extremely positive. So, being positive is such a wonderful experience. And as I said, this particular group which helps industries have self-improvement, it recommends this particular exercise of writing down 3 unique things that you are grateful for 21 consecutive days. But then if you think about it, what Srila Prabhupada has given us is a process that takes us to the postgraduate level of gratitude. Because what these people are teaching us is, focus on things that you already have and be grateful for that. But what Srila Prabhupada taught us through his books is the process of Bhakti Yoga, which actually teaches us that how to be grateful for not just the things that you have, but even for things that we don't have. How to be grateful when things are actually going negative in your life, when you are going through suffering, when you are going through misery. Don't be just grateful for the positive things, but even be grateful for the negative things. So Bhakti Yoga is a process of supreme self-improvement. So the book distribution marathon is going to come up in the next month. So make no mistake, the books that we are going to distribute is actually going to help people, because in today's world, more than any time in the past, people are actually looking for self-improvement. Because the world situation is such that people are becoming more and more external. And because people are becoming more and more external, no work is going on the internal state of affairs. And people are looking for self-improvement from within. And Srila Prabhupada's books are the best self-improvement books. It is estimated that by 2022, in the United States alone, self-improvement industry is going to be a $13.2 billion industry. It's growing at a very rapid pace. People want help to make their mind sober, to be positive, to be happy. And here we have the perfect books to make it happen. And it's very interesting that BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, lately is coming up with new titles, which, you know, which is very appealing for the modern day people. So please make it a point to distribute as many books as possible in the coming month. So coming back to our discussion, how is it possible to be grateful even for the negative things that are happening in our life? To be grateful for the positive things is relatively easy, provided we recognize it. Even the positive things that are happening, it's important that we acknowledge it. Then only we'll experience it, right? Like, for example, some of your friends who are staying in some other place, when you tell them that I was at Radha Gopinath temple, they will tell, you are so fortunate, you are in this such a wonderful temple with such positive association. But many a times, even while in the temple, our mind is clouded by so many anxieties, you know, some trivial issues that might be going on in our life. But when we realize how fortunate we are, we can actually release that position which we are in. So even the positive things that are happening in our life, we should acknowledge it, accept it. That's very important. But even the negative things that are happening, how to be grateful for them? The process of Bhakti Yoga teaches us how to be grateful even for the negative things that are happening in our life. How does it work? Now, the miseries, the sufferings, the dangers, etc., that we come across in our lives, the devotees and non-devotees have different approaches to them. Now, basically, whatever miseries, problems, or the negative things that are happening in our life, we can divide them into two categories. The first categories are those negative things that are happening for which we can understand a cause. For example, somebody stole your money. You know, such a person stole your money. He is the cause, he or she is the cause of your negativity. Or somebody cheated you. You know, who is the cause of that negativity. Right? But then there are other miseries and negative experiences in life for which we can't understand the cause. It's just happening. So, all the miseries and negative experiences that we are going through in life can be divided into these two categories. First, let us take the first category of those negative experiences, of those bad things that are happening in our life for which we can ascertain a cause. Suppose somebody stole your money, or somebody beat you up, or somebody cheated you. Now, when something like that happens to a non-devotee, what is that person's reaction? Immediately, you become vengeful. You become angry. Various negative emotions you undergo. Because you know this person is the cause. He's causing me problems. And then we are all negative about that person. And we're going through so many negative emotions. But a devotee, when he comes across a misery, suffering, or a problem that is going through in his life for which he can ascertain a cause, what is his approach? The approach of a devotee is, this person who is apparently the cause is only the immediate cause of the problem. But the original cause is the Supreme Lord Himself. Because nothing in this world happens without His sanction. So apparently, even though I am able to understand that this person is a cause of my problem, I should understand that ultimately the cause is the Supreme Lord Himself. Let's take a few examples from the Shastras. Before the birth of Sri Krishna, you know the story that Devaki and Vasudev, they gave birth to so many children, one after the other. And Kamsa, he killed, brutally murdered every one of their children. Infants. They were just born. And Kamsa, he killed them brutally. Now, dashing them against a rock. And blood comes all over, right in front of the eyes of Vasudev and Devaki. So Vasudev and Devaki could understand, Kamsa is the cause of our suffering. It was clear. And finally, when Kamsa was trying to kill the last 8th child, which was exchanged, and it was Yogamaya, I didn't know that. And he was trying to kill Yogamaya. She slipped from her hands, from his hands, and she went up in the sky and told Kamsa, "You fool, you are trying to kill me, you cannot kill me. The person who is supposed to kill you is already born somewhere else." So when Kamsa saw that this child was actually Yogamaya, goddess Durga herself, Kamsa became a little bit sober. He thought that, Vasudev and Devaki, they are not ordinary people. If they have their child as goddess Durga herself, they are not ordinary people. So Kamsa became a little bit remorseful for the atrocities that he had committed against Devaki and Vasudev. And immediately he fell at their feet and said that, "Please forgive me for all the wrong things that I have done to you." Now, what wrong had he done? Extreme, isn't it? Killing your own children right in front of your eyes. There can be nothing worse than that. So when Kamsa pleaded, and he was to some extent sincere at that particular point of time. Afterwards, his other associates again polluted his mind. But at that particular point of time, Kamsa was sincerely remorseful. And seeing that, what did Devaki and Vasudev say? Shokaharsha bhayadvesha loba moha madanvita mito gnantam na pasyanti bhaver bhavam pratagdrishaha. They are telling Kamsa that for people in general who don't understand that the ultimate cause for everything is the Supreme Lord, the immediate cause could be other things, other people, but the remote cause, the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord. What is the state of mind of such people? They are always covered by emotions like harsha, shoka, harsha, bhaya, dvesha, fear, or dvesha, animosity, envy, shoka, lamentation, lobha, greed, moha, illusion, madanvita, madness. So, when we don't understand that ultimately the cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, we think this person has caused me suffering. That person has caused me suffering. And then we become negative against people. And in this way, what happens? Our own mind becomes covered with negativity. But a devotee doesn't allow that to happen. Understand. The devotee understands that the ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is always a well-wishing friend of the living entity. So if he is doing something bad, if he is allowing something bad to happen in my life, he has some good in his mind. There is something, there is a good plan that he has devised for me. So the devotee becomes peaceful, understanding that ultimately God is in control. So this is about the first kind of misery. One more example I would like to give is the story of a king called Maharaj Indradyumna, who was the king of the Pandya province in South India. So at a particular point of time, when he was done with his responsibilities, he renounced his kingdom and went to the Malaya hills to perform austerities and penances to attain the Supreme Lord. So one day he was in his hermitage, absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, with eyes closed in samadhi. And at that particular point of time, what happened? Agastya Muni happened to come there. And he was with his disciples. And when he entered the hermitage of Maharaj Indradyumna, Indradyumna continued in his samadhi. He didn't receive Agastya Muni and his disciples. Immediately Agastya Muni became furious. We have come here and there is no guest reception. What is going on here? And immediately he cursed Maharaj Indradyumna that you are sitting here like a dumb elephant, not receiving me properly. May you get the body of the elephant. And when the king understood this, what was his reaction? He was not at fault. He was peacefully meditating in his hermitage. He was doing his duty of spirituality. And for no reason, apparently, Agastya Muni comes, curses and goes away. There is every reason to become negative against Agastya Muni. And start thinking, you know, what kind of Muni is this person? Even now, many people, when they come to my classes, they say that, you know, in bygone ages, what kind of sages they were? They used to curse for no reason. But Maharaj Indradyumna was the victim of Agastya Muni's curse, but still he had no trace of negativity against Agastya Muni. Why? Because he understood that Agastya Muni is only the immediate cause. The remote cause is the Supreme Lord himself. Srila Prabhupada, in that particular purport, he says, although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Lord. Nothing can happen in this world without the desire of the Lord. So if something negative has happened, this has happened by the desire of the Lord. And if God has allowed this to happen, and because God is all good, ultimately this is going to turn into a benediction. This is how a devotee deals with negative things, negative situations, negative circumstances, for which you can understand the cause. What about those situations for which you cannot ascertain a cause? It just happens. Sometimes people are just detected with a deadly disease. Why did it happen? You don't know. So many types of cancer for which you cannot ascertain a cause. You know, certain cancers like oral cancer, etc., you can understand. Okay, maybe you chewed tobacco or you smoked. But there are certain kinds of cancer which happen for apparently no cause. You're leading a good life with no bad habits. Suddenly you go to a doctor one fine day and you're detected with cancer and you're in the third or fourth stage. You don't know the cause. When a non-devotee comes across such a situation where you don't understand the cause of your suffering, what is the reaction? Your anxiety, fear only increases because now you don't know what to expect in life. Anything can happen at any time. You're left at, you know, left at the mercy of random events. And you don't know what will happen next. Because the non-devotees, they think that when you cannot ascertain a cause, they call it accident. Or they call it chance. When you cannot understand the cause, they say that it happened by accident, it happened by chance. But the thing to be understood is, nothing in this world happens by accident. Nothing in this world happens by chance. When you say something happened by chance, what it actually means is, you don't know the cause. When you don't know the cause, you call it chance. I'll give an example. You know, 10 people in a family. You know, one of them contracts malaria. You will tell, it is by chance. All 10 were staying. One of them by chance got malaria. But a doctor who knows the cause, he will say, this person was bitten by a mosquito, Anopheles mosquito, and his immunity was low. That is the cause by which he got malaria, and the other 9 didn't get. If you don't know the cause, it is by chance. Or 10 people went to Vrindavan, and one of them got diarrhea. And if you don't know, you will say, by chance, one person got diarrhea. But a more knowledgeable person will tell that this person might have secretly gone to the Chaat Bhandar near Banke Bihari. And that's how he has got diarrhea. You know the cause. Isn't it? So, a devotee understands this. Ultimately, the cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord. So even though I cannot ascertain the cause of why this suffering is coming upon me, I should understand that ultimately the cause is the Supreme Lord Himself. And again, the devotee is sober, understanding that if God has made this, God allowed this to happen, it should be for my own good. Let us take some examples from the Shastras. In the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the description of Samudra Manthan. The Devatas and the Danavas, the Asuras and the Suras, they plan to churn the ocean of milk. So in order to churn the ocean of milk, you need a churning rod. So they decided to bring the Mandara mountain. Now the Mandara mountain is made of solid gold. So when they were trying to get the Mandara mountain, it was so heavy that, you know, the Asuras and the Suras crushed under its weight. Many of them, they were injured. Some of them died also. So Lord Vishnu comes to that place and with one hand, he lifts the Mandara mountain, places it on the back of Garuda and brings it to the churning site. And then Mandara mountain is placed in the middle of the ocean, and now using Vasuki as a snake, the Suras and the Asuras start churning the Mandara mountain. And when they start churning, because the Mandara mountain was just placed on the ocean, it's called buoyancy. Buoyancy, because of that it was floating there. But when they started churning, it slowly started sinking because the mountain didn't have a support from below. Again, the Suras and the Asuras are perplexed. Now what is going to happen? One more obstacle. They're trying to churn the ocean of milk. Obstacle after obstacles are coming. Again, Lord Vishnu takes the form of the Kurma avatar as a tortoise and comes beneath the Mandara mountain, becomes a support for the Mandara mountain, and they are able to churn the Mandara mountain very nicely. So in that purport, the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada, he says, everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the Supreme Power. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance. But devotees accept them to be acts of the Supreme. So even though you are not able to ascertain a cause, the devotee understands that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. And because He is all good, this is happening by His will and ultimately be for my own benefit. For example, a few years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, my nephew, who was just 21 years old, was suddenly detected with sarcoma. Fourth stage cancer of the backbone. And he had done nothing wrong, because sarcoma doesn't have any cause. You can't ascertain a cause for why it happened. So he was so disturbed. Why is this happening to me? But then, fortunately for him, you know, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, he happened to be in the area of Bangalore, and he kindly visited him and explained to him all the knowledge that is given in Srila Prabhupada's books. And then my nephew became very peaceful, understanding that ultimately the cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord Himself, and if this is happening to me, the Supreme Lord has a bigger plan for me, which I am not able to understand at this particular point of time. And he took it all in a positive state of mind. Eventually, with that positive consciousness, chanting the names of God, he passed away from this world earlier this year. One more example that comes in the Shastras of how a devotee takes situations for which he cannot ascertain the cause comes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, he used to steal butter and eat butter, and all the gopis used to complain. And one day, the coward boys complained to Mother Yashoda, saying that Krishna has eaten dirt in a secluded place. Yashoda Maya was extremely disturbed. Now, eating butter, it's alright, it's after all healthy, because it was actually churned butter, it was not Amul butter. Amul butter may not be so healthy. But the butter that Krishna was eating was actually healthy butter. So it was not such a big cause of concern. But now when Krishna had eaten dirt, Yashoda Maya became very disturbed. And she asked Krishna, "Krishna, why are you eating dirt?" Krishna said, "No, I have not eaten dirt. All my friends are lying." Yashoda Maya said, "Balram, even Balram is telling. He always supports you." Krishna said, "Even Balram is lying. If you want, look into my mouth." And Krishna opened his mouth. And when Krishna opened his mouth, Yashoda Maya could see the entire cosmic creation within the mouth of Sri Krishna. She saw all the elements. She saw the planets. She saw the stars. The entire Brahmanda could be visible within Krishna's tiny mouth. And within Krishna's mouth, she even saw within that Brahmanda the earth planet. And within the earth planet, Vrindavan. And within Vrindavan, herself and Krishna. Within Krishna's mouth. And seeing all this, Yashoda Maya became extremely bewildered. And she started wondering, why is all this happening to me? Is it the external energy of the Lord that is acting upon me? Have I gone crazy? Or or is some mystic trying to, you know, influence me by some mystic power? What exactly is happening? Yashoda Mai couldn't understand the cause of why she was seeing so many things which was so unusual, that too within the mouth of Krishna. When mother sees something unusual in that children's mouth, obviously they become disturbed. And Yashoda Mai was seeing the most unusual thing within Krishna's mouth. How much more bewildered she was, and how much more disturbed she was. And she couldn't ascertain the cause. Finally, understanding the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, she didn't know her child himself was the original Vishnu, but ultimately, you know, she took shelter of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, unable to ascertain any other cause. So in this connection, Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. When we are beset by some problem for which we can find no reason, we find ourselves caught in such a situation often. We come across a problem for which we can find no reason. So Prabhupada is telling, when you are beset by some problem for which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer Him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Yashoda. Whatever happens, the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada says something that we have been discussing today. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakratam vipakam radvagopurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadaya bhak. So this particular verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was frequently quoted by Srila Prabhupada in connection with how devotees have to confront negative situations of life. And this particular verse explains the attitude of gratitude. Tatenu anukampam susamikshamano. While a devotee is going through negative situations, such a person is waiting patiently for the anukampa, the mercy of the Lord to descend upon him. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. And a devotee understands that the cause of the suffering, I am reaping the results of my own karma ultimately. And actually, I should have suffered more, but by the mercy of the Lord has reduced that suffering and given me a token reaction. Radva gopurbhir vidadhan namaste. With gratitude, you thank the Lord. Thank you, my Lord, for giving me this token suffering by which I can become purified. I can become purified, and then how I can see this situation as a benediction so that I can come closer to you and find a solution to all the sufferings of life. Because, you know, for most people in this world, some amount of sufferings is needed for taking spiritual life seriously and for heart to become purified and for us to find the ultimate solution of liberation from all sufferings. Now, if you have seen, you know, how a cloth gets washed in a washing machine, When I was in school, the first washing machines that came, they used to just, you know, turn the cloth around, maybe in a clockwise direction. You remember? It just used to roll. And then at the end of it, you could remove the cloth, it was already washed. But after a while, then the washing machines that came, they used to, you know, rotate the cloth clockwise for a while, then anti-clockwise for a while. So, you know, researchers, they found out that that's the best way of cleaning the cloth of all dirt. But looks like the latest technology is the washing machine turns the cloth clockwise for a while, stops. Again turns anti-clockwise for a while. Again stops for an indefinite period of time. And then again clockwise, anti-clockwise, and finally the cloth is washed. That is the latest technology that is available, apparently, because we have got a washing machine which is used for washing the cloths of sick monks. They are not able to wash themselves, so we put it in the washing machine. So this is the latest. And that is the best technology for washing clothes. And that is the best technology that is used by the material energy to purify the living entity. Because the living entity has so much dirt of anarthas within the heart. Isn't it? And unless these anarthas are removed, the living entity cannot gain liberation from material bondage and attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So how to purify the heart of these impurities? Only suffering doesn't work. So Maya, her technology is also technology of the washing machine. Some suffering, clockwise, then stop. Then some happiness, anti-clockwise. Then stop. And you feel, I am sufficiently purified. I have become liberated, you feel. But no, it's only a pause. Then again, clockwise, suffering. Then again, anti-clockwise, some happiness. But this machine goes more clockwise than anti-clockwise. More suffering and less happiness. Kabhi kushi, mostly gum. Kabhi kushi, kabhi gum nahi. Kabhi kushi, mostly gum. And only when a living entity goes through this, clockwise, anti-clockwise, clockwise, that is the duality of this material world, then finally you feel enough. And everyone goes through this process in this world, isn't it? But few come to that conclusion. It's like, if you simply put the clothes into the washing machine and turn on the washing machine, that's not sufficient. You should also put detergent powder inside. So detergent powder is like the association of devotees. So when you are in the association of devotees and we go through this process, clockwise, anti-clockwise, clockwise, anti-clockwise, then finally our hearts become purified. And it is needed. And Krishna gives some amount of suffering so that we develop that spirit of detachment from this material world, so that the process of our purification becomes accelerated. And devotee understands that Krishna has a good plan for me in mind. Devotee has complete trust. And with that trust, Rad Vak Vapur Bhir Vidadhan Namaste. With heart, words and body, the devotee thanks Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for, you know, allowing this washing machine to function. Otherwise, how will I get purified? Now, when you take the cloth out of the washing machine, it's all wrinkled, right? But what to do? You have to make the cloth become like that for it to become clean. Baad mein istri bhi laga sakte. So once we are purified, then many positive things also come in our life. Very interesting that during the initial part of, you know, the development of ISKCON, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he joined ISKCON at San Francisco. And at that particular point of time, ISKCON had just two centers, New York and San Francisco. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he became the Sankirtan leader. And he started the whole daily program of Sankirtan. He used to take his devotees out every day for Sankirtan and used to return. It was a new program that was introduced. And during this time, Prabhupada was at New York. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave the report telling to Prabhupada that the Sankirtan process is working wonderfully and we are collecting so much of money. Because money was a big issue at that particular point of time because there was no source of income at all. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote to Prabhupada that we are going on Sankirtan every day, we distribute Back to God magazine, and when we distribute, we are collecting sufficient amount of money. So Prabhupada replied saying that for Krishna, you know, if you are a devotee of Krishna, money is never an issue. If Krishna wants, he can give you the entire USA. But first he wants to see what you will do with it if you get it. Whether you will utilize it properly for his service or you will misuse it for getting further entangled within this material world. Krishna first wants to see that. And if he sees that you are purified, then he is ready to give the entire USA to you. And he will give you all positive things, Srila Prabhupada says. So once we are purified, then Krishna, he is not a sadist that he wants to see us in misery. He is doing it just like a loving parent punishes the children for their welfare. So similarly, Krishna makes the devotees go through some sufferings for their benefit. And a devotee has complete trust, faith in this principle. That this is for my purification. And a devotee never complains that I am a devotee of Krishna. Why am I going through such suffering? But how do we develop this consciousness? It's easily said than done, isn't it? When we go through suffering, it's a tendency to complain, including myself. It's very easy to thank Krishna. How do you come to that stage when you are actually grateful? In a beautiful purport in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse actually reads, Na tatha hi agavan rajan puye tat tapa adibhi yata krishnar pita pranas tat purusha nishevaya. This particular verse basically says that the sinful people of this world cannot be purified by tapasya and other things alone, austerities, penances alone. The best way of purification is by serving the pure devotees of the Lord. That is the best method of purification. And in this particular purport, Prabhupada says, when a devotee is put into hellish conditions, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano. He does not protest. Oh, I am such a great devotee of Krishna. Why have I been put into this misery? Instead he thinks, this is Krishna's mercy. Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative. And Prabhupada says, this is the secret of success. When we sincerely engage ourselves in the service of Krishna's representatives, slowly but surely we develop this attitude, this strength to thank Krishna when miseries come upon us. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful story of Narad Muni recollecting his previous life when he was a son of a simple maid servant. And some devotees happened to visit their place, and Narad Muni along with her, with his mother, they engaged in the service of those devotees. And after the devotees left, calamity struck. What happened? The mother of Narad Muni, she had gone to the cow shed to milk the cows. And in the darkness of the night, a snake came, bit her, and she died. Now there was no shelter for Narad Muni. He was a little boy, left with no shelter. He was in a crisis. And he was a devotee. He didn't complain. Now I have become a devotee. Why such an insurmountable calamity has come upon me? What was his attitude? The Srimad Bhagavatam describes. Tada tadam ishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatah anugraham manyamanah pratishtam dishamuttaram. He took the situation as the supreme will of the Lord. Tada tadam ishasya. And who is that supreme Lord? Bhaktanam sham abhipsata. Sham means auspiciousness. That supreme Lord who always desires good for his devotees. That supreme Lord has allowed this particular thing to happen. So it is anugraha. Anugraha manyamanaha pratishtam dishamuttaram. He took it as an opportunity to advance in spirituality. How did Narad Muni, a little boy, develop this attitude? Because he had engaged in the service of the Bhakti Vedantas, the devotees of the Lord. As our service matures to the devotees, as our service towards the devotees matures, the more we will develop this attitude and becomes more and more natural for us to rat vak vapur vir vidadhan namaste, to thank the Supreme Lord for the miseries with our heart, words and body. See, these are different stages. Now, initially it is relatively easy to thank with our body. It's like when somebody is a new devotee and such a devotee goes through some suffering, certain problems, what happens? You know, the devotee might complain through words. The devotee is disturbed at heart and the devotee complains through words also. Are main to bhakt hu, aisa kyon ho raha hai mere saath? But at least that devotee, because of the association of devotees, might continue rendering service through the body. But as that devotee progresses, when suffering comes, the devotee continues serving with the body and stops complaining with the mouth. Right? Because little more purification has occurred. So you thank the Lord through the body and the words also perhaps. But somewhere at the corner of your heart you still feel, ye mere saath kyon hua? Aisa actually hona nahi chahiye tha. But externally through words you are saying, okay, achche ke liye hi hoga. But as we become more and more purified at all three levels, at the level of the body, at the level of the words, and even within the core of our heart, we are grateful. That thank you, Krishna. I'm sure you have got something wonderful in mind for me. And that is why you are making this happen. And once we have reached that stage, Radhva Gopurbhir Vidadhan Namaste Jiveta Yo Muktipade Sabhadaya Bhak. Liberation has become your rightful claim in life. It has become your inheritance. You become eligible for ultimate liberation. You are eligible to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. when we reach that level of being able to thank at every level, it'll happen. And once we reach that stage, imagine, no matter what happens in your life, positive or negative, you're always in a state of gratitude. You always thank the Lord. And once we are in that consciousness of gratitude all the while, how much our consciousness is filled with supreme positivity. With a little exercise of gratitude we experience, how much it can give us an experience of positivity. So imagine a state of consciousness where you are positive all the time. Doesn't matter what negative things happens in your life, you are always in a state of gratitude. And you are completely filled with positivity. No amount of modern research, no self-improvement industry people can give you this solution for positivity in this world. Only Srila Prabhupada can, and he has given it through his books. So please, in the next month of a marathon, book distribution marathon, please make it a point to distribute as many Srila Prabhupada's books as possible, because this is what people are actually looking for. They may not know that they are looking for these books, but everybody wants to change, isn't it? That's a buzzword nowadays. How to be positive, how to be happy, how to be more peaceful. And all those solutions, the complete solution, Prabhupada has in his books. Even the outside people, all these self-improvement people, they speak about gratitude. They speak about concepts like, you know, mindfulness, which basically indicate, you know, coming to the level of sattva-guna, even though they don't use the word sattva-guna. Apparently, they are also giving the same solutions, but the solutions that Srila Prabhupada gives is an in-depth solution, because there is God that is taken into consideration. Understanding of God, which makes self-improvement complete. So the self-improvement that is spoken nowadays, it looks almost similar, right? They also speak about gratitude. They also speak about being kind, being compassionate. We also speak about being kind, compassionate, about gratitude. But there's a lot of difference. Our techniques are strongly rooted in an understanding of God, but theirs is not. It's like two Mysore paks that is kept in front of you. Both look similar, but one contains sugar, other doesn't. Or, you know, today the sweet is going to be lapsi halwa. And suppose you eat it and there is no good in it. So the self-improvement that is taught outside, it looks similar, but there is the essential ingredient is missing. If the essential ingredient, sugar, is missing from Mysore Pak, what is the use of that Mysore Pak? Might as well throw it away now. Because the essential ingredient is God, and that is missing. What is the use? It's all superficial. But Srila Prabhupada's books are the ultimate self-improvement books that contain the essential ingredient, connection with God. And once that connection with God is established, automatically your consciousness will raise to the level of sattva-guna. And once your consciousness raises to the level of sattva-guna, mindfulness becomes easy. Being here now becomes easy. Being compassionate becomes easy. Being grateful becomes easy. So please take this wonderful opportunity and try to give these books to whoever might be interested. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to His Grace Gopinath Chandra Prabhu, for explaining us being positive in all the calamities, for spiritually positive in all the calamities, material calamities. So we'd like to thank him by loudly chanting 3 times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So first of all, we'd like to welcome all the guests who have come here for the very first time. तो सबसे पहले हम उन सभी अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो कि आज के प्रोग्राम में सबसे पहली बार आए हैं. हमारे स्वागत अध्यक्ष हनुमान जी के विग्रह के पास खड़े रहेंगे. वो आपको महाप्रसाद तो देंगे ही, साथ